Hey, kids.
You're listening to the internet's wettest podcast about video games, consoles,
and pancakes.
The SML Podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe. Joining as usual, Aki and Bree. How are you two doing?
Great. Good, yeah.
I'm doing okay. I've been, like, balls deep in Power Wash Sim 2, and I think I'm approaching the end.
Nice.
I'm on the town float game. Stage, which I believe is the last stage.
Been so long since I've played that, I'm not entirely sure.
Well, this is Power Wash 2.
Yeah, that's I reviewed that one.
I didn't know if you went all the way through it.
Oh, yeah. I was when we did the review, I was the only one who had 100%ed it. I might still be the only one who had 100%ed it.
You should join,
know if Bree actually
should join my game
yet.
And help me wash down some floats.
Okay. I can
do
that
the mouse
easily.
Last, though. Mouse last.
Mouse last, okay. I can manage that.
Yeah, I haven't finished it yet because I'm playing it at a snail's pace because it's whenever Indri and I can get together to play it.
If I work,
so that's why I wasn't sure if you had finished it.
If I worked 6 hours on those floats and I fucked up and got the mouse early, I would cry. It's like the SpongeBob DLC where I didn't realize the first thing you had to do was not do the shell until last. I'm like, you I'm not redoing it.
Yeah, I will install it once the podcast is over because I don't know how this is going to play with me actually being in podcast. But it's
well, I'm not going to
a little
play
less
it
than
9 gigs. The show.
Oh, well, fair.
That would. How am I going to play it during the show?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to how you do things. You know that. I barely pay attention to how I do things. I don't pay attention
to anyone
else.
Because you're too busy playing games during the show.
Nah. No such thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, shit, I could just load it up on my Xbox and open up the game and let you just wash during the show.
You know, you might. Once I have it downloaded, I'll let you know. Take a quick break, head over there, and I can pop it up. I don't care. I really enjoy... Games like this are just... They're nice and calming. I enjoy little ones like this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I even went through the Adventure Time and the Star Wars DLC.
Nice. I don't have any of the DLCs yet.
The Millennium Falcon is friggin' huge.
Yeah, I bet it is. Fucking hell.
So many nooks and crannies on that thing. Ugh. That one was rough.
You mentioned nooks and crannies, and the whole conversation came up about English muffins. I actually went to the store and I bought English muffins today.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Because
of the Millennium Falcon.
Are you going to put sausage and cheese on them?
No, I'm just going to put butter on them.
Oh, boring.
Biggity butter.
I know. I mean, maybe some jam, but just toasted with butter is like how I like them.
Like Hawaiian rolls. Hawaiian rolls and butter.
What's that?
Good. Hawaiian roll?
Yeah.
Just a type of roll, a little
like a
square
sweet
roll. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I think I've had those before.
I think they went by the name tea biscuits before.
Mm.
Okay, then yes, I've definitely had them. Okay, fair.
But they're basically like bread. They're not actual biscuits.
Okay.
Yeah. Delicious, though. So good. So, how was everybody's week?
pretty.
I mean, my week's been pretty exciting. I had job interview, got a call about another job interview. Like, I'm hyped.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Things looking good.
Video games. Yeah, looking things solid. Are looking great. Yeah, they're looking yeah. great. You let me know if you get a call.
Oh God. Never heard of her. Bree what? Rhinoceros? No, I never heard of that. I bought another upgrade for my computer. I bought a new processor today.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so what are you running now?
Well, it will be a Ryzen, what is this, 5800X? Yeah, Ryzen 7 5800X.
Nice.
Which is very a good. Step up from what I have now, which is, let me pull this up quick.
Just something.
I have a Ryzen 5 3600.
Okay.
So very nice. I'll be going from 5 to 7, which is two higher.
Yeah.
That's a number I know. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm running a Ryzen 7 3700. So, yeah.
Mine will have a higher number, whatever that means.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know how many cores. That's not on the chip, so I can't tell you that.
Oh, yeah. That's okay.
Yeah. That's more than.
But I'm running a GeForce 1650 graphics card, which is like terrible for the rest of my computer, but you know, whatever. Yeah. I'm gonna buy a new one soon.
I like looking at my computer seeing storage 9.1 terabyte.
Oh yeah, well.
Good shit.
I uninstalled one game and now I have over 100 gig on my hard drive.
What game did you want to install?
Fallout 76.
Of course.
I was down to 10 gigabytes on my computer.
You did that on PC instead of console?
I did it on both.
Why?
Because she's crazy.
Because I actually like it.
Oh. Weird.
As I said, crazy.
Yeah, but I don't have as many people to play with on PC, so I didn't go as far. I was playing with my buddy Jay on Xbox.
Is it not cross-platform?
No.
Oh, I would have figured it would have been. Interesting.
No.
That's
no separate achievement list, separate no.
I just would have thought that you'd be able to play with other people on consoles and stuff, because it's, you know,
I thought so
new
too.
Enough. Interesting.
Would you have any need for a 512 gig SSD, I think Gen 3, maybe? I don't know.
Possibly. Let's talk later.
Cool. Because I can't use it in my PS4 or PS5. Oh. Yeah. Can't use it in the PS4 either, because I don't own one of those.
Yeah.
So, should we get to news? There was some news this week.
There was.
Sure.
Should we talk? Should we dish news?
It's all bad, so yeah, let's do this.
No, it's not all bad. We got the PlayStation Plus game catalog for August, and it's a pretty solid lineup.
Very nice.
August 12th, they got Helldivers 2.
Okay, very cool.
August 18th, they are going to get Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 and Vampire Survivors.
All right.
Damn. Okay.
And then on August 25th, they're getting Hell Is Us, Uma Musume, Pretty Derby Party Dash, which sounds insane, Two Point Museum, Metro Exodus, and Dying Light.
Damn, they get a bunch of kick-ass games there. Holy shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then PS Plus Premium, they're getting Atlantis The Lost Empire from PlayStation 1. And this might make you sad, Aki. Onimusha Dawn of Dreams.
Oh, those motherfuckers.
For PS2.
Oh, I love Onimusha.
Playable next week on PS5. And PS2 still, if you own one.
I do. And I own all of the Onimusha games for it, too.
So what's the fucking problem, then? Stop bitching.
Because I still want the...
Stop bitching.
Genshin's what I'm good at. Fuck you.
It's not a new game. It's a port, like a straight port of the PS2 version. It just has like enhanced textures and trophies. Maybe trophies. I don't know.
And therefore, that is something I would totally be interested in. But they're remaking it or remastering it or whatever. And I think that's like
wants to know if you own Blade Warriors.
I have to look up the box art to that to know, but I don't think I do.
Because you're not a true fan. Legacy 2 was officially announced by Warner Brothers, shocking the world.
What was?
Hogwarts Legacy 2.
Yeah.
Nifty.
Yeah. I won't give her more money.
I'll buy it used.
I'm happy to review it. I'm not willing to give money.
Yeah, I won't pay money either. For it, but if I get it free, or if I could buy it used.
I don't even want to put it on my gamer tag. It sucks.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Yeah.
It's time, whether we like it or not.
Yep.
Yeah. And I grew up with it, you know. She wasn't as openly such a twat.
Yeah.
It's like, I really liked it. And the game
I was a big fan.
Was legitimately fun.
Conventions. I hung out with Wizard Rock artists like the Blue Ring Humdingers. Like, Harry Potter actually made me $30,000 one year, and I almost took a consulting job at Universal Studios, Wizarding World of Harry Potter. Yeah, so that was a big part of my life, and I had to pack all that up, so that sucked.
Damn.
Yeah. That's crazy. Holy shit.
Yeah.
See, at that point, I gotta feel with, like, separate the art from the artist.
Yeah, unfortunately,
if you're not financially supporting her anymore, that's one thing. But to just completely ignore it all existent, like, the movies were good. I can't help it. I enjoyed them.
I had several conversations with some friends, and my best way to be an ally to them is to not engage with that content anymore. And I made a decision to stick with that for those friends. So, yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah, that's fair. I have friends who are like, yeah, no, I refuse to give any money to anything that's for that for likely the exact same reasons. I'm like, that is fair, but man, the game was fun, so I'm going to play it. I had it for review, and they're like, I can't believe you reviewed it. I'm like, I get to blast people with bad spells. Of course I'm going to get it. And then I played it, and it was like, well, you know, I'm pretty sure I mentioned that, you know, she's a bad person, but the game was fun, even in my review, because, you know, I didn't think was going to win any awards, and I don't think it actually did, but it was far from a bad game.
But I'll be over here listening to Lost Prophet albums and watching Chris Benoit matches, so. Surprise, Lord of the Rings War in the North got a re-release this week.
I'm kind of excited about that.
I was very pumped. I woke up and saw the news. I'm like, what? Got a War in the North? And it's $20? That's it?
Yeah. We should guess talk what I bought that next week.
I don't know. Was it a game? And did it come out within the past 5 years? I think that's what you bought. I'm probably right.
I still have the quiver from the collector's edition for the 360 version.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I never finished the 360 version. I had borrowed it from my ex and had to give it back in the breakup. And I never got another copy of it.
I haven't installed on my 360 with the complete intention of playing it 1 year, but that we know that'll never happen now.
Probably not.
The same ex that stole all my weapons in Fable 3, and I had to like go back and find someone on True Achievements to like get that because it was the only achievement I was missing in Fable 3. It was very frustrating. But yeah, he like took all the weapons one day from my account and just like left.
I bet you were like,
I'll fucking kill you. Yep.
Yeah. Speaking of soundboard clips, Zen Studios has announced the newest Table, coming to Pinball FX and Pinball FX Midnight later this fall, Judge Dredd.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's pretty badass. A lot of people thought it was going to be Terminator 2, which also would have been awesome. But the Judge Dredd was another popular guess, and that is what it turned out to be. Okay. I'm excited. I'll buy it. Probably going to be another $15 table or something, but we'll see. Microids has announced their holiday lineup, and it's looking pretty solid. Normally, this would be where I would be like, hey, Jacob, don't these sound good? And he'd be like, yeah, Joe, they do sound good. Don't talk about them. I'd be like, here's September 3rd is Marsupilami 2, Salsa Palombia. And he'd be like, oh, that one's pretty cool. I bet it'd be cool with my kids. I'd be like, yeah, I bet it would be cool with your kids. We should talk about it sometime. And he'd be like, I would, but I'm not there. September 8th would be Bus Simulator 27. I don't really play that one too much, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, I'm going to do what you're going to do. September 24th, we got Garfield Escape from Monday. Oh, that's another one for my kids. I bet they'll like that one. Yeah, I bet they would, Jacob. But again, you're not here. And then November 5th, K-Pop Rising, Dream to Shine. Oh, I want that one for myself.
He would. He would. Legitimately, he would. Oh, God.
Yeah. And then sometime this fall, Q4, Construction Simulator Evolution. That sounds like a pretty diverse lineup coming from Microids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm excited for Garfield and Marsupilami. I like those games.
Yes. Same.
So we will see if we get to talk about those eventually. Something we won't be talking about is new games from Night School Studio.
I know. That was on my list, too. That's
breaking news. Just a few hours ago, Netflix is shutting down Moon Loot, which they founded in 2022. And Night School Studio, the creators of Oxenfree.
Yeah, Oxenfree, After Party. Damn. They just released a horror game called Unhinged. But yeah, and then Moon Loot hasn't released anything yet. They were working on a life sim similar to Animal Crossing. Yeah.
That's
a shame. After Party and Oxenfree were both really good games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, can't have nice things.
Nope.
Horror Acolyte wanted to mention that they will be bringing more Lord of the Rings games back. Aspyre will be supposedly bringing more older retro Lord of the Rings titles. I'm hoping we get some of those PS2, GameCube, Xbox era Lord of the Rings games, Two Towers, Return of the King.
Fair.
Those were good shit.
The only Lord of the Rings games I've played was Gollum, because of course
the best.
Yeah, I got that for review, and you know, I totally did want to blow my brains out the entire time.
That's $4 right now, by the way. If you want Gollum, it is $4. I fucking dare all of you.
And I'm going to tell all of you this right now, that's about $500 too much that they're asking.
No, not that much.
Might be more.
You're exaggerating for dramatic effect.
No, that game's fucking horrific.
It is, but you're still exaggerating for dramatic effect.
They should be forced to pay you to play that game. It's so fucking bad. Realistically, they should have. Maybe if they had some QA people playing it, they would have realized how fucking garbage it was. No, that game's so god-awful. You should
$4. Do not buy that game. You were ballsy enough to give it a go. It is $4.
It is so bad. It is a stealth game. It's one of two. Period. That I fucking hate.
So what other Lord of the Rings games did you play? Because you said you played Gollum. What else?
I also played Shadow of Mordor?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Whatever, the first one. I played the first one. I do own the second one now. I bought that a year or two ago on Xbox when they had like a super sale. And I could buy both of them for like a tenner. And get all the DLC or something. So now I have both of them, but I've only played the first one. And that's it. That's all of them that I've played.
If we're talking about sales. There are a ton of Pinball FX tables on sale right now on Xbox this week for like 40% off.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Tons. Tons and tons and tons, including like Williams packs of like 6 packs and 10 packs. And oh, if you need tables, now's the time to stock up.
Goodness.
Last bit of news I have, and I'm sure this was on Bree's list, because this is a shitstorm for Twitch. The fun little platform that we are on right now has decided to now allow users to have their data and content used to train AI. And by allow, no. I mean they auto-opted everybody into the program and admitted openly that if it was opt-in, nobody would opt-in. Maybe that is a goddamn sign, you fucking asshole.
It's actually worse than you think. They gave you the option to opt out of it now. But that's the thing. They gave you the option to do it now. They've been pulling.
Doing it anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, they've been doing it without your permission. And then just set it to where it was an opt-in or out thing with you set to already opted in. And because they'd already been stealing your shit.
Yeah, there are some things that will still involve AI even with that button.
Yep.
That they will be training, and as a point of contrast, YouTube doesn't have an opt out option at all at this point, and they have been doing that as well. But yeah, the chief product officer, like, you know, let this slip during the live stream or something he was in, that like, oh yeah, you know, we figured you wouldn't opt in if we gave you the option, so we just, you know, automatically did. Like, that's not freaking cool.
Not at all.
Yeah, so for those of you who didn't know this news already, you can, if you're on PC, I don't know how to do this on mobile, but if you're on PC, you just go to the top right of your browser where your Twitch icon is. You click on that, you go down to settings. You click on security and privacy tab, scroll all the way to the bottom where it says training for generative AI, and you can turn that right off.
Yep. And you should do that.
Yep. Immediately. Yep.
Speaking of data centers, I only found out after the fact that the processor I bought is from a guy who works at our local data center.
Oh.
I'm like, you're the problem.
Mm.
He's like, I run LLMs out of my basement. I'm like, you're a fucking idiot. Okay, thanks for he's a your problem. Really cheap processor. It was like a $200 processor. He was like, I'll do it for $100. I'm like, good enough.
Yeah, I was about to defend him, and then you were like, I do LLMs in my basement. I'm like, oh, no, yeah. Never mind. No, yeah, he's just straight up a problem. Never mind.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, man.
Cheap processor. Yay.
Yeah.
Yep.
Seriously, I looked it up. It's like, because he had it listed for 160, and I was going to offer, like, be like, hey, can you do, like, 125? And he just, right off the bat, was like, I'll do 100 if you'll just take it now. I'm like, fuck it. All right, you just negotiated the hell out of this. I can't turn down $60 off when it's something that can get, truth. Like, 170 to 200 used. So,
yeah,
which is fair.
Go for it. Now I just got to wait for my PC guy to be free to install it, which he said he'll do for like $40. So even after installation, it's pretty cheap.
For NAS, Vivid NAS.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I can play Power Wash Sim while streaming the show.
Speaking of that, when partway through the news, it finished downloading. So I'm just saying it. Whenever you want to set that up, you just let me know, and I will pop over and start fucking around.
Oh, God. So, yeah. Until then. Twitch and AI, that is a shitty combination.
Yeah, everywhere in AI, AI is a shitty combination. Unless it's shitty AI in the trash can.
Yeah. I'm not too happy about it. It sucks that I had to opt out of that. Like, I want nothing to do with that shit. Keep it away from me.
Yeah.
Bitches.
I think it's really funny. There was somebody posted somewhere, Oh, for all you people who hate AI stuff, could you really get through a whole day without it? I'm like,
yes.
Yeah, motherfucker. Almost everyone
before it existed. Like,
yeah.
Just a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it's like, dude, yeah, I could go the entire year without it. Why? Because I've yet to use it. It's like, yeah, well, I can easily.
I didn't grow up with Wikipedia. I grew up with Encyclopedia Britannica on my friggin' shelf weighing down my.
Unfortunately, you use it whether you realize it or not sometimes because it's been embedded in things already. But yeah, I mean, I would say the one usage I have that I use that I think is an acceptable use is something like Grammarly.
I don't know what that is. I know I recognize the name, but I don't know why.
Yeah, it's like a widget you can install on your web browser that does spelling and grammar corrections for you. It little, you know, like you have when you open up a Word document and it'll mm-hmm. underline things in red. It does that for you live while you're typing in things like Twitch if you want to as a viewer. And that is an AI usage that it's doing. But it's not the same as generative AI stealing art from artists and things like that. So, yeah.
Which is fair. Grammarly seems to at least understand. Oop. All right. Let me pop out of my game and I will be right there.
Yeah, you're going to wash my shit during the show.
Not like I don't have the free time to do it, so fuck it.
True.
Yeah.
True.
And I need something to do to pay attention.
After the show, I'll switch over to Plana on my PC.
Right.
I said before, this is the game that has sold me on being PC Master Race. Like, I can understand the benefits of mouse control now.
Yeah.
Because holy shit, the controller. It is so much easier to play that game with a mouse aiming.
Probably.
Can you not rub your face on the microphone, please? Weird ass cat.
Well, he has to rub his face on everything. That's how he says, "This is mine."
She ain't got to do shit.
She loud. Okay.
So, that's the news I have. Aki, you got anything?
Nope, because what I had was already there. You already listed, so.
All right, Bree, what do you got?
News, let's see. Supermassive Games is supposedly about to lay off 75 people in a redundancy consultation process.
Ugh.
That sucks. Yep. Rising Moon Games have been delisted from the Microsoft Store, some of them, 5 of them, in what looks like a dispute with previous publisher Cubite, who have since returned control of the games back to the devs, and they plan to release new versions of the games at a later date. Games in question are Space Elite Force 2-in-1, SokoCat Combo, Railway Islands, Busway Islands, and Match Village. I've actually played all of them and enjoyed them, and I hope that they do re-release them.
Goodness.
I know you mentioned this to me earlier in the week, Joe, and I don't know if I just missed you saying it because I did totally space for like 30 seconds, but did you talk about Handy Games?
I did not.
Okay. Well, they are now THQ Nordic Mobile. They'll be helping build on previous success with mobile adaptations like Wreckfest and SpongeBob Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated and more. Considering they made like Clouds and Sheep and did the Wreckfest mobile publishing, I feel like they're going to have a good grasp on the mobile end of things, so that's an interesting little switch around there.
I mean, Handy Games did a lot of mobile stuff anyway, so this is just
putting
the ring on it, I guess, but
yeah,
I'll miss the name Handy Games.
Yeah. Let's see. Speaking of AI, because we've been speaking about that a lot today, Saber Interactive was accused by a former writer of being replaced by ChatGPT. Has denied, but they admit that they firmly believe in using AI tools and that their new taxi game, Rideshare Simulator, uses it by necessity. Quote.
Didn't the one CEO say something like, "Oh, well, Stella, she was, I don't even know who that is anyway. Maybe if I had Claude to help me out."
Right. And Claude is the AI assistant that they use. They claim it'll give a more budget friendly. I was gonna say, if you I'll post it in chat if you want to read the transcript from Reddit. But yeah, and so they say it's going to make a more budget-friendly price, and that should be a plus for consumers.
Oh, yeah.
But that's an interesting take if you consider that Games Workshop, who is the owner of the franchise Warhammer, has an anti-AI stance, and Saber has the license to make games for them right now. Games Workshop at the beginning of the year banned staff from using AI tools to make anything for miniature designs, promo art, background lore, etc. They have a very anti-AI stance. Yeah. So I wonder how that's going to go down. Yeah. Yeah. For sure.
They occasionally do something right. So
yeah. Good on them. Xbox CEO Asha Sharma got to play the new Elder Scrolls 6 playable demo, or whatever you want to call it. She thinks it's incredible, but she was greeted by a bit of a protest from the Communication Workers of America Union members, featuring a red flag graveyard of the laid off workers just this year and a giant inflatable rat.
Wow.
Yeah, it's, I think the rat's name is Scabs, and yeah, he's their mascot.
Yeah. Yeah. Meanwhile, Bethesda has released a $300 die-cast replica gold-colored Pip-Boy, the Overseer Edition, based on the TV show, and it has a working LCD screen with, stuff you should see on a Pip-Boy. That is available for pre-order right now. They're only making 10,000 of them, and you can only buy one through the website, and that is the only place to get it.
Damn.
I will post that link as well.
Thank you.
Did you see what people have speculated the censored title of Elder Scrolls 6 to be?
No.
The current guess is Sentinel. Yeah.
Okay. And then, let's see, two more things. Age restrictions are going into play in Australia by the end of this month. And verification will be needed to be made for Xbox and PC users to continue accessing services if they are doing 18 plus stuff or need to use live services and things like that have age gates on them. So
whatever happened to parents doing that thing called parenting? I don't get this. None of this shit needs to exist. This is just making it harder for people to get their shit. If you just pay attention to what your fucking kids are doing, there's no problem. And it's really just that fucking simple.
And the crazy thing is,
I would,
like,
say kids are resourceful, though, and they find ways around that. I know I was one of those kids who found ways around restrictions.
So did I, but, you know, we didn't grow up so fucking devoid of humanity that things are fucked up. No,
well,
it's,
their laws are their laws, and...
We have grown up in an age of so much more guidance and parenting than ever before. Like, when I was in the 80s, we just were out until 9.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like you showed up at home. Mm-hmm. And your mom was like, oh, yeah, you still exist. That's good. Go to bed.
Yeah.
And then last bit of news, excuse me, Devolver has announced plans to delist from the London Stock Exchange and return to private ownership status. They felt like public and shareholder demands and revenue expectations were not a winning team with the indie publishing company, and they want to be private again. Sorry, I drank something and now my throat is like screwing up.
It's okay, I have a sneeze like built up just waiting to come out. I don't think it will.
Yeah.
Ooh,
yeah.
Those are painful. I hate that shit.
Jacob, do you have any news?
No, I'm not even here this week. Now, let's try it again. Jacob, do you have any news? That's a good one. yeah, Jacob, we don't know if he will be on later or not. He is at a birthday party for one of his kids right now. So,
yeah.
Happy birthday to the youngin.
Yeah.
Ah, and, I didn't realize that's why he was gone. Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yep. 4 hours notice would have been a little bit better than the 3 hours and 58 minutes we got, but... Oh, well, shit happens. Life happens, and
it really
life is more
like
important
that
than this show, so... You gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, but I like the show, so I do my best to, you know, be here and make things work, and yeah.
I do not. I just have no life.
Yeah, me too. Except for this weekend. My dad is coming to visit me this weekend.
That's exciting.
I just don't fucking know when. I've been asking him all week, like, when are you showing up? And he would just keep dodging the question. And today I'm finally like, for real, like, when are you showing up tomorrow? He's like, when I arrive.
I'm guessing he's arriving then.
Ass. My dad is where I get my sense of humor, by the way. So I'm very excited to see my dad. I don't get to see him enough, like once or twice a year, and that's it. But he's where I get my stupid sense of humor, and I'm excited. Good to see him.
Congrats.
Yeah. So, review, should we dive into these?
Sure. I mean, I guess.
Might as well, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about these games, so let's talk about them.
Let's get into these. First game to talk about tonight is Steins Gate Reboot, developed by Mages, published by Spike Chunsoft. It released August 20th on Xbox Series X and S and Steam for $59.99. It is coming to Switch, Switch 2, and PS5 October 29th. Do you know the story behind the dating?
No.
Apparently, they are waiting for the Switch and PS5 versions to be released physical to get put out digital as well. But because Xbox doesn't have a physical release, they're just like, put it out with PC.
Hey, that's a small win.
Yeah, Xbox gets a game 2 months early. That's
I would love to play this on Xbox too. Yeah,
anyway, Steins Gate follows a ragtag group of tech-savvy students led by Rintaro Okabe, whose latest invention accidentally gains the ability to send messages to the past, unleashing the power to alter history itself, of course. As global conspiracies stir and timelines begin to twist, the curtain rises on a future steeped in chaos. Bree, what is going on in Steins Gate Reboot?
So, this is a reboot of Steins Gate, a 2009 visual novel. It's been released a couple of other versions over the years. And this was actually the second game in the science adventure series from Nitro Plus and 5PB or Mages Inc. The first game called Chaos Head, which was also released around 2009. As a visual novel, you do a lot of reading dialogue and exposition to get the story, along with some character art and background scenes, and sometimes a few puzzles. You have some choice points and multiple endings in the game based on your choices. I think there are like 6 to 8 endings to this one. While this is a reboot, I am completely new to the series. I've only heard good things about it, and I was excited to see what the reboot brings. It claims to have remastered visuals, a playtime of 30 to 50 hours, multiple endings, of which, as I said, I think there's close to 8. There's a new story path and a refined user interface. So, a few highlights I'll talk about in this review. Hard science fiction elements, time travel, and trauma. All subjects I know a fair bit about. What I will not talk about in this review is anything I consider to be spoilers. And this is a very story-driven game, so I'm only going to give you a really small taste. Yeah, I'm going to give you a small taste and talk around stuff because it's hard to not give spoilers. Also, while this is available on other platforms, I played the Steam version for this review. So let's start with the settings menu.
As of 2 days ago, it looks like the Xbox version was delayed to October 29th.
Oh, wow, they decided to
stick with everything else. Oh, son of a... And I just talked about how cool it was that we were getting it in August.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll look forward
October 29th for consoles.
Well, if they, you know, want to send us an Xbox copy, then I will gladly take a look at the Xbox version, the console version, because I'm enjoying this. All right. Anyway, the settings menu has most of the same things you're going to find in other visual novel games. But of note, I would mention the tips, the auto quick save, and the fact that this game is available in English text, but not voice. You can adjust some of the voice volume separately. Like if you're distracted by hearing the Japanese voice acting, you can turn it off or lower it or whatever, which would be a shame, but you do you. You can also lay back in your chair and use your controller with this game while you read, which is just fantastic. I'm going to probably say fantastic a lot. The story is set in 2010, following Rentaro Okarin is his nickname by one of the characters, Okabe. He's an inventor in Japan. His true name is like Huin Kuyuma. I can't even say it. Anyway, but that's not what he's called because it's not his real name. That's just the name he feels like he should be known by. He's trying to get into the Time Machine press conference in the beginning. He fancies himself like a world-renowned evil scientist or something like that. But he's like a bit of a softie when it comes to Miyori, the 16-year-old naive, bubbly female childhood friend he takes care of. But Okabe is he's a bit of a hothead. He's got the ego of an 18-year-old genius because that's what he is. And, you know, Okabe or whatever you want to call him is the source of like comedy in the beginning because he's like a caricature of himself around these like seemingly calm and normal people he interacts with. And that's like the story starts off lighthearted and quirky. It takes a turn in the second half of the story. It's not without its twists in the beginning, but there is a definite shift in tone later on in the game where things seem more urgent and dark, and that element was done with finesse. So anyway, someone dies, or so we think, pretty early on in the game, and we text message one of our best friends about the incident, and suddenly everything changes. People disappear into thin air, the street before us changes, like, we've sent a message to the past using our high-tech phone somehow and changed the future, maybe? And that relates to strange things going on with our microwave and... say here. So we spend most of the first half of the game getting to know the characters involved in our plot. Some of the characters we deal with in like loops of the game, there's like Makise Jirisu. I don't know how to say these names. I'm totally going to butcher them. She's like 17. She's a genius neuroscientist. She doesn't even believe in time travel, but she's inexorably caught in its web. I mentioned Miyori, the cosplay-loving, adorable airhead of a friend. We've got Daru, who is like the best friend hacker extraordinary, and he's built like a refrigerator.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. He looks more, okay, and I'll talk about this again in a second, but he looks like more of a refrigerator than he used to in the new art. And then there's so many other characters. Those are kind of like the main ones you meet in the beginning that are part of your like science club, whatever you want to call it, the lab. And then there's like all these other characters like Ferris, who works with Miyori, and Luca, and Dr. Nakabuchi, the physicist who's talking about time travel that kicks him out of the conference in the beginning. And there's like a really good cast with varying depth and relation to events that take place. And they're all really just fun and interesting, well-developed characters. But again, the beginning is all about getting to know those characters. And I don't want to like get too into the weeds about that and ruin half of the fun of discovering that for yourself. The game is rooted in hard science fiction. So this takes place in Akihabara district of Tokyo.
Akihabara,
I'm saying things as best I can here, which is known as Electric Town in the real world. It's like a great setting for our protagonist to get all the tech he'd need to work for the time machine and all the things that are going on, all the inventions that he's making. So like that was a really good choice. There's like these parallels to real things in the world, like the organization that he's all like bent out of shape about that's like coming to get him and everybody else in the time travel stuff is called CERN, S-E-R-N, based on the real life C-E-R-N CERN, the Hadron Particle Collider that's been fantasized as a time machine in other media. And that's what they're doing in the story. So if you like a little more edge to your science fiction, this is a good choice. Sometimes the jargon's a little technical, and that was great for me. It didn't get, again, too into the weeds. I'm going to use that phrase again because I feel like it's a good one to use here. I felt like it was pretty accessible, even though it was hard sci-fi, you know, related stuff. Other things important to the plot of this game are theories around time travel, like the butterfly effect. The idea that one small change to the past can have giant ripples to future events. And of course, they deal with potential paradoxes. And honestly, like, the idea of time travel and alternate futures based on changes to past events is kind of like the core mechanic of choice points in any visual novel with multiple endings, if you think about it. So mm-hmm. this is like perfectly my kind of meta. And that's really where this gets hard to talk about, because like, this is sort of time travel butterfly effect 101. People die in this story and we try different paths to bring them back and prevent potential future events. And I don't want to say who or any of the other compelling details, because that's really best suited for your reading pleasure and attempts to puzzle out the best routes for you through the story. I will say that Okabe deals with a lot of trauma in this story, witnessing like various awful things in Time Loop Hell. And he's the only one who seems to remember the events that unfold. And he carries that and begins to change. And the rabbit hole of reading on the internet about this game and the series and the related media leads me to believe that in future games, Steins;Gate Zero specifically, our hero suffers from PTSD as a result of the events in this game here. And we watch his boisterous personality get like traded in for one that's quiet and withdrawn. And I look forward to exploring the rabbit hole further, because now I'm invested in this story in this world. Some game features to talk about. Throughout the game, you'll get tips in gold that appear at the top of the screen as a flash to let you know what's important for later and might be like a choice point you'll need at some point in the story. And you can go back into the settings menu or the start menu, pause menu, whatever you want to call it, and reread those tips. There's a lot of them. Oh my gosh. There's also a phone trigger system, which was in the main game. Or the original game, you'll receive a phone call you can answer or ignore. There's texts with underlined or highlighted words you can reply to in text. This gives it a little more interactivity than most visual novels. You can make calls, type in codes, and these interactions play a big role in one or more of the endings, but like, there aren't a ton of choice points in other ways. A lot of it has to do with the phone. Which sometimes got complicated because you would have to like dig through emails. I don't know how to explain that. And like the last functionality thing that I want to mention is the observer mode. It helps you keep track of timelines and conversations and notes and all that, making it pretty easy to keep track of branches when you're looking for different routes. It is easily accessible from the settings menu. You can click on it's the pause menu. I don't know. I wrote a bunch of notes here and I can't make sense of them. the art in this is fantastic. Some of the backgrounds felt photorealistic, but everything has this kind of grain filter to it with colorful scratches, like static film scratches, to give them some extra life and also some foreboding to it somehow. The characters are expressive. I love the look of them. There are textures and shading and little motions like blinking eyes. I went and watched old YouTube footage of the original game, and the graphics are much updated, but they're also like brighter, cleaner, and more well-developed. The movie sequences seem more cinematic and in line with the modern eye. I can understand, though, how that could be a turnoff for some people from like the nostalgia perspective. But yeah, I really enjoyed the art in this. There's, like they said, there's good textures in like you can see like texture in the hair and different lighting in the hair. It's really more refined, and I really enjoyed it. The music, also fantastic, has a good amount of variation. It's appropriate to the scene you're in. The music was actually redone from the original while trying to remain faithful. The voice acting, really great. It's only in Japanese. The other thing I think you'll have to feature as a commentary in a review, I mean, I have to talk about the writing, right? I mean, it's complex, it's accessible, it's compelling. The dialogue and character writing is great. The development of the characters is great. And that's knowing that this is a translation and localization work is coming into this. And I felt transported to 2010, and yet I still felt like this had a modern edge to it. But there is there is some bad stuff. There were a few times where rather than go into the into a new text line, it would want to fit a fourth line of text into the box, and the text would squish and get distorted to do so. And that was a little off-putting. Three lines was fine, but they would add that fourth, and instead of just like going to a new box, they're like, nope, we're going to squish it. And I did not like that. I also had one of the movies freeze on me and the audio cut out and I had to reload the game. I was able to skip the movie and save, which was great. Just disappointing. Reloading got me back to where I needed to be just fine, though. So
we should point out that it is a week before release, so all these can easily be fixed before launch.
Absolutely. And yes, I think I have that also in my note here at the end for the wrap up. But yeah, if you like the story, you want more, there's a series available. And there's additional Steins Gate games in the series, and perhaps they'll get the same treatment if this reboot does well.
I'm sure it will.
So anyway, this is one of the best visual novels I've played in a while, if not ever. This is really good.
Yes.
Jordan just subbed, but we didn't get an alert go off.
Oh, that was weird.
Boo. I'll do it manually.
Yay!
I know Doc Havoc was having issues with alerts the other night, too. I think it's just a Twitch-wide thing. They're having issues with alerts lately.
Could be.
Yeah. Inject the yay into my veins. Well, should we inject Steins Gate into people's veins? It clocks in at $59.99. Available on Steam August 20th.
Yes. Yeah. So despite some odd choices in text presentation and a couple of pre-launch blips, this is a win for me. I think the price is reasonable for the content and the added features you're getting. This is not a casual visual novel, so that price point, while the price of a normal AAA might seem a little high, this is comparable to something like Danganronpa in its scope. So I think it's well worth the price. I'm excited to work on other routes. I only got through like one route and a partial playthrough of another one.
Let them know how long you put into it already.
And I put in like 30 hours. So yeah.
This is a long game, folks.
Yeah. Again, unfortunately, I don't have the comparison like longtime fans of the series to give you other than a little YouTube research and internet research. I just know that as a new fan of the series, this is a buy it for me.
Very good. And some things to keep in mind, if you purchased the game on any platform before November 30th, you will qualify to get the Octet of Shifting Space DLC for free when it launches.
Ooh.
And then on Steam right now until August 19th, you could save 10% on the game. So instead of $60, it's $54.
Do it.
Or the go deluxe for that edition. Yeah. Deluxe edition goes from 80 to 72.
Nice.
Goodness.
Holy shit, you put 30 hours in this?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and got one ending.
Yeah. And
this is a long fucking game.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, next up, Dusk Fade, developed by Weird Beluga, published by Fireshine Games. Weird Beluga, I love it. Released August 13th, Series X and S, Switch 2, PS5, PC, $29.99. Shatter the shackles of time as you jump, swing, and slash through a fantastic world. In this love letter to classic 3D action platformers, Zirian, accompanied by his mechanical cuckoo, must save his sister from a mysterious clock tower that has plunged the land into eternal night. Aki, what is going on in Dusk Fade?
Some bullshit. That's what's going on. So you play as this young man who, to be charitable, isn't very smart. To be very, very charitable, he just isn't very smart. And he and his sister are basically the last quote-unquote humans left. They are what's referred to as clockmakers, even though he couldn't make a hole in the ground, even if he tried. And otherwise, the world is inhabited by beings called cloudies, which are literally living sentient cloud people. They don't really fully explain why, But some bad shit happened in the past, and basically all of the clockmakers went poof, and it brought Cloudy's down to the world. And now, for some reason, a tower has appeared, kicked you out of it, and has trapped your sister inside it. So now you have to use your sword to go beat everything senseless and find a way to get your sister back. And right now, there are some chains across the door, and you have to go break those chains at their source, which requires you to travel to a whole bunch of little areas and kick the shit out of a bunch of enemies and find the chain, break it, and then head to the next area, basically. That is what this game is. It is a more or less a hack and slash beat 'em up. So it's full action. You're having a bunch of fun. You have a bunch of sword attacks you can do, and there's also Cuckoo, which is a random cuckoo clock bird that has appeared around the same time and saved you when you were kicked out of the tower, basically, to more or less fall to your death. They saved you, and they're also aiding you in combat. They occasionally fire off little abilities, and you can upgrade the type of shot they have, as well as the damage it deals, and obviously your own sword attacks, and so on and so forth. While you're playing the game, you're unlocking new pathways through old areas to find different collectibles and the like. A lot of these collectibles provide you with things, so they're not just, like, there for the sake of being there like lots of games are. Some of the collectibles are things like you can find different music in the game, you can find the records via music box that you find, and then you play more or less Simon Says with them. And once you beat the Simon Says thing, you get it, and you can go and play the music whenever you want when you're in the main hub. There's also ingots you find that allow you to change the look of your sword, which is very reminiscent of the Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts, which is, if you've heard anything about this game, you're probably hearing people compare it to Kingdom Hearts. That's one of the primary reasons why, is because the sword is very similar in look to the Keyblade. You know, also find things like cloth and dyes to give your character, I think, 6 different outfits in total, and I think 5 or 6 different looks for each outfit. Which is kind of cool. There's also upgrade coins that you can find, and you have to use those as well as in-game monies to buy different abilities and level up abilities and things like that. And yeah, every biome is its own specialty thing. For instance, the first area was all about being in a forest and then being in a forest that was on fire because the apparently, we hate nature. you know, it is what it is. And then another level later on was, like, set in an underground school, basically. So it was very Bioshock-esque. You don't really have to worry about dying in the game. This is kind of a game more leaning towards younger audiences, I think. It deals with some heavy topics, namely dealing with the loss of loved ones. And
speaking of learning difficulty, there's also, 4 difficulties in the game, including a storybook mode where the enemies are a joke on storybook mode.
Yes, they are.
You gotta turn it up to at least standard.
Yeah, I would. If you're an adult playing this, I would probably suggest the 3rd difficulty. just because I think that's probably going to give you what you're more used to. If you play more hack and slashy action games, I think that's going to be the more baseline for you. But Storybook is great for younger audiences who aren't super used to it, because it does make it a lot easier, and that really helps, especially for
easier,
things
not
like
the platforming.
Well, it makes it easier because you're still taking less damage. that's where the benefit is. I didn't think the platforming was all that bad, usually. It does have some hang-ups when you're doing that, because sometimes it puts stuff higher up, and it's like almost at the max possible height that you can reach. So even with all your abilities, you might just barely make it. And the problem is, when it does things like that, you kind of have to be pixel perfect, or you're just typically going to fall to your death, because that's inevitably where all these things are, is above a pit or something that does massive amounts of damage to you. But again, it's not too worrisome. There are a lot of checkpoints throughout the area, so it's not going to take you long to get back to where you were, even if you do die. It's
you
not
cleaned
too,
right
too bad.
Around that mouse, didn't you?
Yep, I'm good at that. took me a second to remember what the hell you're even talking about. I was like, what?
I'll throw you off your game. Yeah, you know I will.
Yeah, a little bit. But yeah, the game's overall, it's okay. If you're like, ooh, I love Kingdom Hearts, I should play this. This is not... there's so many comparisons to Kingdom Hearts, and it's like...
This is more comparable to like Jak and Daxter, Ratchet and Clank, any of those old classic PS2, GameCube, Xbox era 3D platformers, 3D action platformers. Yeah. It is not so much Kingdom Hearts. Stylistically, it feels kind of Kingdom Heartsy, but gameplay wise, it's not.
Yeah, it's very cartoony looking in the same way that Kingdom Hearts originally was, and the weapon looks somewhat similar. Beyond that, I don't really find it to be at all even remotely close to Kingdom Hearts. So yeah, if you're like, ooh, Kingdom Hearts, let's play this. Don't. That's not the same. You are not going to feel the same way playing this as you did that. Yeah. If you're just I want a new 3D action platformer, then that is more what you're getting with this. So, yeah.
It clocks in at $29.99. What are your thoughts on Duskfade?
I'm pretty okay with that. I think I've put around 23-ish hours, maybe 24 hours into this game.
Very
and
nice.
I haven't quite finished it. I'm probably going to actually wait to finish it until there's some guides out, because I cannot... A lot of the achievements in this game are based on finding the collectibles, and some of them I'm just like, I have no idea where I'm even supposed to look at this point in this level.
Yeah, some of the collectibles are pretty tricky in this one.
Yeah, they're
I'm still
really
early
well
in the
fucking
game.
Hidden.
I just picked it up this morning and just got able to play it today. So I have very early time in it, but I'm really enjoying what I play. I think it's a gorgeous-looking game.
Oh, yeah, it's very pretty.
I see the comparisons to Kingdom Hearts, but gameplay-wise, it's definitely a 3D action platformer. It's not Kingdom Hearts.
Yeah, and you also have to keep in mind, this also has a Metroidvania aspect to it, too, because you get different abilities that you unlock as you go through the game that are traversal.
Well, that's just same as 3D platformers. It's just open world.
Yeah, and so, like, if you're like, oh, I didn't collect all the upgrades and collectibles in this area, you can't. You just can't. You're going to have to wait. You need those abilities, something fierce. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going with a bite on this one. I bought it myself, and I think it's really charming, and I would recommend it to others.
I also think this is a pretty solid buy it. I thought it was a really fun, cute game.
All right. Let's move on to Piece Together, developed and published by Glowfrog Games, who were awesome enough to give us some extras, and we got a giveaway going on right now in our chat. So if you are
on
our Twitch channel live As it's happening, you can type enter in our chat and get entered to win a copy later on tonight. Again, Piece Together, developed and published by Glowfrog Games, that released August 9th, is an Xbox Play Anywhere game for $10.49. Piece Together is a cozy scrapbooking game that takes you on a heartfelt journey about friendship and getting older. Sort items, solve gentle puzzles, and decorate the scrapbook as you uncover story piece by piece. Bree, Aki, both of you played this. Who wants to start?
I can.
Or you can go too. I'm good with either.
Knife fight.
Okay, I'll go ahead and start then. So in this, you're playing as a older woman who is putting together a scrapbook, basically, that shows more or less her entire life. And you take different envelopes and pop them open, and you're given a whole bunch of different things that you can place into each page of the scrapbook, but you can't just place them all willy-nilly wherever you want. You only have access to technically two pages at a time, and each one is set up to be a specific set of memories, and when you open these envelopes, you might have like three different levels worth of stuff that you've just placed down. So you have to figure out, as part of the puzzle, what parts that are in here are attached to this specific memory, which is a pretty fun little bit of gameplay. It's usually pretty straightforward. I had a couple levels where I had some trouble with it, namely because you can't always figure out exactly what the memory is supposed to be until you've filled it out a bit more, or until you've placed enough stuff up on there that it's like, oh, you can try and finish this. And if it doesn't have the right stuff, it's like, these are not the memories for this. And it's like, oh, that's the stuff I have to find. Okay.
Sometimes things are out of order or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's basically just showing the life and friendship of two young women, Connie and Beth, as they grow up basically together and then grow older from, I think it starts technically in elementary school and ends with them, I think, in their like 30s or 40s, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. 30s sounds about right.
And Bree, I will let you take over because I've given the gist of the game now.
Some of these little puzzles that you do to get the right page and move on to the next, like, first of all, it's really relaxing. But in addition to the puzzles being about placing things on the page, sometimes you need to dust things or paint things. There's ripped up pieces that need to be jigsawed back together. There's even a couple of logic puzzles. Like, you have to find a cat, and there's like a logic grid-based puzzle. They're pretty easy to sort with the clues given. I did struggle, actually, with... I just finished it, though. Chapter 6, there's a section where you have to like go through social media and text and pull out photos and place them in the right timeline. I actually struggled with that one a little bit, but I just finished the story. So, I was also doing you guys, so... it's really a story about reconnecting. The art looks all hand-drawn and painted with like childlike imperfections in the lines that aren't quite straight. And that's a good thing. Like, it really helps give some color to the character, because your main character in this are people, but the story is told through the scrapbook. So that's a character too. And in this case, it has real character, you know, to use that turn of phrase. The music was really relaxing. It's like acoustic guitar melodies, and it was delightful. We get a little bit of voice acting for Connie that was really well done. It has a chapter select, lets you go back and collect sticker packs without ruining your save position in the story, and it'll also let you get the second ending achievement with relative ease. And the stickers are cute, mostly relate to things going on in the story, but then there was one sticker page that had characters or objects from games like Toem, Unpacking, Tiny Bookshop, I forget the name of that one, Minami Lane, Paper Trail, and some other cool indies that I kind of recognized but couldn't quite place. So that was a little treat there. And the stickers were actually the one place, though, that I felt like the cursor was a little finicky for me from time to time. otherwise, yeah. This worked great. It was just some of the stickers were like so small, it didn't want to stick to them. Like, you know, your cursor gets stickied to things, or your pictures will get stickied to the points it wants you to put them to. Like, it magnetizes, and it didn't want to magnetize to the stickers to lift them. But, I mean, it was still very, very playable. It was just like my one small nitpick about this game. And this was Glowfrog's debut game, and it's super cute.
Yeah, right. You're able to actually increase the size and rotate the stickers. And
yes.
Oh, I had problems with that sometimes. Oh, okay. That was where I had issues, was the control got kind of finicky sometimes with trying to resize them for me and stuff. But otherwise, I didn't have any real issues with the stickers, thankfully.
All right, well, cool. Let's talk price on this one. It clocks in at $10.49. I think that 49 cents is asking for trouble, but I'll trust you two on this one. What do you think for $10.49?
This
game,
first.
Yeah, this game is short and sweet. It'll run you less than like 3 hours to get all the achievements in both endings. This reminded me of things like Tell Me Your Story and Dordogne, and even like Lost Words Beyond the Page. It's tactile, it's heartfelt, it's made with care, and I just really enjoyed it. It's a buy it for me.
It's also a buy it for me. It made me sad, especially near the end,
because basically
you get to see how these girls have basically done shit with their life, and that always reminds me of how completely useless I am.
Oh.
And that always makes me sad, so yeah, I ended up crying a lot at the end of the game. It's a very cute game. I think most of y'all are probably going to be really into it, and probably not sad like me, because I'm a sad sack.
All right, and again, you have a chance to win a copy later on tonight. All you gotta do is be hanging out in chat, type exclamation, enter, be following, and you could be chosen to win a copy later.
Y'all really need to get on that. It is a great game. Yeah.
Next up, Finding Polka, developed by Lidlox, published by Parco Games, that released August 12th on Steam for $9.99. Set off on a playful search to track down the wandering pup Polka in this game of exploration and serendipity. Meet charming characters, lend them a hand to make new friends, and explore a cozy world sketched in ballpoint pen. You don't need words on this adventure, just smiles and high fives. Bree, what is Finding Polka?
So this is a cute, quirky, animated, and hand-drawn ballpoint pen adventure. It's part puzzle game, part hidden object game, and it is all adorable. The game starts out with a dream about Friendy's childhood dog, Polka, chasing a butterfly and getting lost. And when she wakes up and starts her day, she runs into a real-life version of Polka running after a real-life butterfly and starts off on an impossible adventure with her current dog, Jazz, to find Polka. As you follow the trail of Polka, you'll have to clean up after them, because a lot of your clues are piles of poop and bottles of urine that you'll need to clean as a responsible dog owner.
Oh, wait, I got a button for this one. Hold on, we got the
finally a game that teaches people to be decent dog owners. Took fucking long enough.
Oh, but along the way you'll find tons of friends, and friends are interactable characters that are in need of something. Your neighbor in 301 has lost their key to get in, and if you find it and bring it over, they'll give you a high five and a heart emoji, and then you can go on about your adventure. You'll be able to help people find lighters and bug nets and all kinds of silly things to solve their problems, and that's the hidden object component of this game I mentioned. Sometimes you need to find one object to give to someone so they'll give you something in return, that you'll need to help another friend, and so on, and your collected items show on the right side of your screen. Part of the joy of this game is all the zany little things going on in the background of the game for you to explore. There are pigs wearing sunglasses and birds doing unbird-like things, and there are heroes fighting slimes and clowns playing cards with witches in the woods. There's always something, and the game gets stranger the further you go. And I obviously don't want to tell you too much in front of the surprises you have in store. The rest of this game is a bit of a puzzle, or maybe even like a maze-like adventure. You have to navigate paths that are somewhat linear and overcome little obstacles like jumping on a mining cart, crawling through mole holes, and even riding a drone to the other side of a farm to find the right pathway through to your next clue. There are checkpoints to help you if you need to like leave the game and come back to it. Those checkpoints also account for most of the achievements in the game. And once you activate a checkpoint, you can go back to that point and find things you missed. The art is darling hand-drawn ballpoint pen that is animated, like I mentioned. So the game is in, we'll call it black and tan, so as not to blind you with a bright white screen, which is pretty pleasant. Key items on the screen indicators show up in a golden yellow color to gently lead toward the next step. The animations are amazingly simple, quirky, and fun, and there is even animated rain in one scene. I kind of wish there was a way to change the colors further to customize it, but this isn't blinding, and that's the key thing to mention here. The game is really just whimsical. You're going to use an umbrella to slow your descent into the mole hole. There are cutscenes where you'll learn some sort of kata or something to amp yourself up to karate punch a wall. And you'll have to bring inner peace to a giant teddy bear. And all while you're trying to chase Polka, who gets himself into all kinds of trouble, like getting kidnapped by the moles. There's also little mini games like whack-a-mole and sumo style wrestling match. And it's all good, clean fun. The music was like jazzy at times, peaceful at others. There was some electro swing. It really depended on the scene you're in. It was all over the place. There was one scene where you had this like interactive cutscene that was kind of a Europop beat, and then like it added more layers to the song the more music notes you got while you were falling down. And there's no dialogue in this outside of Friendy saying Polka or Jazz with some kind of cute frustration when they get away. It's like, damn it, Teek. Teek. I said that and she's looking at me now. Anyway, all the other I know. So all the other conversations you have with friends are gestures or pictorial speech bubbles, which is just, you know, a simple way to communicate. One other thing to note, this is controller friendly. I actually did play most of this on a controller. There is a zoom you can easily use to get in close or widen things for better perspective. This game isn't super long. There's around 20 sections to explore and a couple of different endings you can find, and I had a great one.
Very good. It's $10. What do you think of it?
This is an imaginative and playful game. It's a journey into the unexpected. It offers replayability just in finding new things you missed the first time around. It's kind of like playing through someone's animated imaginary doodle world on a notepad. It's cute. It's a great price. It did not outstay its welcome. If only just for the giant space crab battle, it's a buy it.
Nice. if people are still on the fence about it, until the 25th, you could get it for $7.99. So
I'd say do it. Jump on that right now.
R.U.B. One last game to talk about tonight is Haridi, developed and published by Ghost Case. It released August 11th on Steam for $6.99. Haridi is a first-person psychological horror game. You will play as a mother searching for her missing daughter in a crisis-ridden hospital. Experience an atmosphere of extreme dread within the halls of this abandoned Chinese-style medical facility. Aki, what is Haridi?
Okay, so, yeah. You and your daughter go to the hospital. For some reason you're sick in some way and you routinely have to bring her to the hospital with you because you're a single parent, and suddenly you find yourself in an old abandoned one right out of everyone's nightmares, and yeah, now you have to go find your kid because you're a mom and that's what moms do. They find their kids. That's, you know, video game 101, yo. And yeah, there is a malevolent spirit around and about that thankfully you don't really get bothered by too much. You do have a couple escape sequences from it, but most of this game is just finding the items you need to get to the next area, which are often hidden around and about, and until you need to find them, sometimes they don't even exist on the map. And it's more about creating a scary atmosphere than actually, you know, hitting you with any serious scares. There are a couple jump scares in this, but most of it is just, oh, creepy shit be happening. do some fear pee, please. Which, in my opinion, is how it should be, because for me, a jump scare, it may make you jump, but it's not really scary. It's an autonomic response that most people can't really help but do, and for me, that's like lower than junk food level quality.
I think they're cheap.
Yeah. For me, it's lower than junk food quality. I don't like that. I don't find, to me, that isn't fear. If that's like, oh, my games or movie is scary because it has a bunch of jump scares, then in my opinion, what you've made is not particularly scary. It's just annoying. So thankfully, this, like a lot of, you know, these more indie and Asian styled horror games, it has a very nice creepy atmosphere, which makes things creepier and shit. You do end up, you know, like hearing things that go bump, occasionally seeing things that are a little creepy. And yeah, you're just trying to get your daughter back from this malevolent ghost, more or less. And it's not a super, super long game. But it is pretty decently sized. And yeah, there's not a lot to say about this, because I think it took me like 2-3 hours, something like that, to beat.
So it's a tiny one.
Yeah, it's another one of these, like a lot of these games that I review. It's a little short indie horror experience, and it's pretty nice. I like these style of games.
Doesn't have a big price tag. It's $7. What do you think?
I think it's easily worth that. That's a pretty good price for what you're getting, especially if you like Asian horror. If you don't, then there's something wrong with you.
All right, sounds good. With that, we're done. Ladies' Night was a success.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, good time. Jacob could not be here. He will be on next episode with his lineup of games. Edited in haphazardly as however I feel. Yay.
And for everyone who wants to know, I have nearly finished this Power Wash 2 level.
Yeah, you're 79%. Oh. That's insane.
Wow.
Yeah. And I still haven't touched that damn mouse. I'm good at this.
You are.
And I never stopped while I was talking, by the way. Just in case anyone's ever wondering, do you really play while you're doing stuff? Yeah. Yeah. Yes, you can ask Joe.
I literally watched. I watched my money go up a dollar at a time.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'm going to get that achievement to buy every washer. That is going to, I'm going to have to replay so much.
You should only have to play through and complete every level one time to get it all.
I think you have to buy as you go, though.
Yeah.
Well, you could buy and sell.
Yes, you can.
Yeah.
But I think you have to own it all at once, I believe.
I think you do, yeah.
Which requires you to beat the two most expensive ones.
I just don't have all the cheaper ones. I don't have enough for all of them. And I've
you will by the time you finish. So. This is not the last level.
Oh, no?
No, there's at least one more after this.
Oh, geez.
Once I got in here and I saw this, I was like, oh, there's definitely at least one more level.
Oh, boy. Well, I guess we should get to that. Does anyone have any final words to end the show?
No.
I guess my final words are...